This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Can you just check that Esri Konsa winner? Did it come off Tyrone Ming's foot at all? It did.
Oh, he's robbed
you. Just told poor on Esri, and he's absolutely gutted.
He can't claim it.
I'm not Tyrone's foot to win it.
Oh, I don't know about that. Whoever touches it last.
I'm heartbroken. Absolutely heartbroken. Oh, my God. Well, at least we won.
Esri, you thought you'd scored the winning goal. Just tell us what you think now.
Heartbroken, really. Nah, I'm joking, but we got the victory, that's all that matters. You know, we needed the 3 points today. I thought we dominated the game.
Tyrone, who scored the goal?
Me, unfortunately. like you said, obviously it's a cliche to come on here and say that goal don't matter who it goes to, because the 3 points is the most important thing, but when you got the 3 points, it's also nice to score, so this makes it even sweeter.
Tyrone, we haven't spoken to anyone from Watford yet, but I feel certain they're going to say that you possibly should have been sent off for a second yellow card, the handball on the halfway line. What would you like to say?
Nothing.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
One last chance if it drops right. Horse helps it on to Tyrone Mings and Konsa! Esri Konsa strikes gold for Aston Villa!
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me for a... how are you billing this, Mr. Chris Budd? Is this like a reaction? It was such a pivotal result that we thought we had to...
It's a relief show.
It's a relief show. We had to jump on the mics just to...
let it all out.
Before we deliver you a proper show, looking back at Watford and Brighton and Sumatra and all the other happenings. Obviously, we've been slipping in some full-length shows for the My Old Man Said patrons. So if you haven't joined us yet and are thinking about it, please do go to myoldmansaid.com, click on the patron option and do sign up. All the information is there. I will do the latest My Old Man Said patrons who have signed up this week in the next main show. Listen out for that for your shout-out. But this game, and we're talking about Watford at Villa Park, hopefully it will be a metaphor for the season where we start off all right and we were, you know, reasonably controlling the game. Then we have a bit of a setback, i.e. winter time, Watford score. Then we kind of got back in it and you're thinking, well, basically, let's not lose this. That's the most important thing. And, you know, let's stay up. But then... last minute of the game. Does this mean we're going to finish the season on the flurry? We're going to go on another 10-game winning run?
Oh, I hope so.
We're going to get to Wembley and we're going to beat Manchester City against all the odds, and it's going to finish with Dean Smith getting manager of the season after the recent elements of doubt, people calling him out. But, you know, what a game. It was a real
amazing
spectrum of emotion.
amazing game.
Don't say under the lights.
The drama under the lights.
The drama under the lights. But
what a sales pitch that'll be for the Leicester semi-final.
But this is just a short look at the game. The game's just finished a matter of a couple of hours ago, wasn't it? So we are detoxed, bovrilled up, and ready to go. But at the start of the game, for the first 35 minutes, well, just say before the goal, before the opening goal by Troy Deeney, I thought Villa were kind of controlling the game. It was just like you could tell when they got in the final third, they just, when they're delivering that ball, there isn't that reflex ball that you put in because obviously there's no striker there. So there's a bit of hesitancy. Right, what am I going to do with this ball? Now I'm in the position to obviously, you know, for example, target. Where am I putting this ball? But because they don't know instantly. It's not like a muscle reflex that, right, that, you know, our striker or strikers are always going to be, you know, one's going to be on the back post or, you know, one's going to run the near post or come in short or whatever. So there was that kind of hesitancy and you just thought, hey, we're doing enough here. And you could see if we had a striker here, I think we'd be 1-0 up.
Yeah, I think we had, you know, we had quite a bit of the ball. I think it was all a little bit too pedestrian at times, although it was kind of neat. We never managed to get sort of into that extra gear to break their lines. You know, Watford turned up very, I wouldn't necessarily say they were passive, but they very much defended from the halfway line back.
Yeah, there was a lot of times where the centre-backs were just playing it amongst themselves and then going back to Rayner and starting again.
But I thought once the full-backs realised that they could bomb on, it made a difference when we got Gilbert and target into wide areas. And when they actually hugged the touchline, it opened up the pitch a little bit more.
Yeah.
And in terms of the passing, I mean, the first sort of 2 minutes, I think everybody had their head in their hands going, oh no, Nakamba's on one again tonight and so's Drinkwater. But actually, once Nakamba got going, he was deservedly man of the match. I thought he was superb. It was probably one of his best performances in a Villa shirt so far.
Yeah, I think as a whole team, just to pull up a stat, just before the Watford goal, I think the pass completion rates between the whole team was about 84%. I think Watford were down in the 70s at that stage. So you can just see that they're basically keeping the ball out and not actually constructing anything. But, you know, as I said, we just didn't know really what to do. We weren't incisive enough. And we did, you know, get in amongst them, to be fair. We were controlling without threatening.
It sort of huffed and puffed without ever having that sort of killer. And we didn't really make sort of a clear-cut chance or make Ben Foster work much. But
yeah. And I thought, I mean, Drinkwater's, you know, always gets, everybody slags Drinkwater off. And in this case, they're saying, oh, yeah, well, no coincidence that Villa scored after he went off. But he was actually recycling the ball quite well. And from a little deeper from the midfield, when it came back out, it, you know, he was putting it back in.
Yeah.
And recycling and reconstructing attack. So I just thought, yeah, if he gets up to speed, you can see he has got a bit of composure.
Yeah, you started to see glimpses of what he's about and what he will bring to the team over the next few months. I think he's just going to need to, you know, to be eased in. I thought it was very much the right decision though to hook him when Smith did, and I think Louise was part of changing the game because he just gave us that little bit of zip on the ball.
Yeah, and Louise, he's still like a rough diamond. It just needs a bit of a spark up his ass to get going. But he seems to thrive. He thrives on the occasion though. I mean, let's talk about. I mean, at half time, I think some people were getting the ropes out already. It looked like the season was going down the pan because you wouldn't want to look at the league table if we'd lost that game. Obviously, Bournemouth also beat Brighton, so they'd have been above us. And suddenly it's Norwich, then Villa at the bottom, and you're just thinking this is going to be a fucking long season. I mean, even if we drew this game, it'd be a long season.
Psychologically, it was massive just to get level.
But you could see the team is feeling the pressure just from the release of, you know, Dougie Louise. I mean, that was old school. That was like crowd surfing, mosh pit, diving into the hole. Some players run up to the hole. I mean, I think Hutton climbed into the hole. I remember Kozak ran into the hole.
And I remember Adama Traore literally ran into the hole a few times as well.
But Dougie Louise kind of climbed up and then just dived in like he was
a great effort, wasn't it?
At a concert or something. It was brilliant.
It's what it's all about.
And you saw from that, he's like, he wants it and he's up for it. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of the word passion. That's how they sell, you know, they sell this game to, well, that's how they sell TV packages to you is the passion and showing pictures of the fans. But that was like a genuine moment for fans, players, all under the pressure and starting to fear the worst about this season, even though you've still got that inkling that they've got it in them to get it out, it's just, do they have the know-how? And that moment was like, yeah, I mean, that was the relief. I mean, we're still in an uphill battle, but it set up what was to come as well.
Yeah, and I think Luiz is probably aware that he's probably had a difficult few weeks in general and a difficult sort of Christmas season in a Villa shirt. I think he's had moments, whereas I think, you know, his assist for Grealish at Brighton, then coming off the bench, changing the game again, he'll get a lot of confidence from that. And especially to score such an important goal will be a really big moment for him and a big moment for, you know, Konsa or Mings or whoever's, you know, claiming the winner. But to win the game in the manner we did after the way the game had gone, I think was the perfect way to kind of lift everyone.
Yeah. I mean, going back to Luiz, I mean, people are saying just because of his pass, you know, one swallow in the hand or whatever they're saying is his pass for Grealish in the Brighton game that he should have been starting. And you just think, well, the thing is, he seems to work better when the actual adrenaline's pumping and the tempo's up. For example, you know, in the final half hour, 20 minutes when you're chasing something at the moment while he's still developing, because his downfall is when there is no tempo to the game, you know, in the early stages, and he slacks off and he's a bit casual and he takes his time too much. But when he's, let's say, tuned in, is a different beast.
Yeah.
So I understand why Smith went for Nakamba, because I think he was always going to play Drinkwater, just from this idea of getting him up to speed.
Yeah, he just needs minutes, doesn't he?
Yeah. So when people were saying, oh, it should have been Luiz over Drinkwater, I was thinking, no, I think, you know, you got Drinkwater in for a reason, and I think he would start him. And Nakamba would be a safer bet, because he had a reasonable game against Brighton. As we said in the bonus patron, Nakamba and Luiz are obviously have been almost like sum up Villa's season so far with their inconsistencies. You know, moments of brilliance and, you know, competence in some games, and then just, you know, lackluster, just getting the basics wrong and playing when they shouldn't be playing in areas that they shouldn't be playing in. But at the moment, we have a midfield that can kind of switch in and switch out depending on what you need. And once we get that striker in, once Samatta's bedded in, then you can see a bit of light in the end of the tunnel. I think the question with Luiz is finding him a proper role in midfield, because I think he's perhaps wasted as a deep sitter.
Yeah, I think so. I think he wants to play as sort of a number six, doesn't he? Slightly deeper, and he wants to sort of...
Yeah.
I think if Grealish is slightly more advanced or in and around him, he potentially has the player to bounce off. I think if he plays just in front of the back four, it doesn't necessarily suit him, because he's not a big physical, spoily type player. He's more of a keep it ticking over and pick a pass type midfielder. So I think once they get the balance of the midfield right, I think he'll find his spot, which is why when he came off the bench against Brighton and came off the bench today, especially, you know, because he knew he was going to get a lot of the ball, I think it was the right change at the right time, and a proactive move from Smith, which, of course, he's been accused on numerous occasions this season of not doing. I'm glad he reacted quickly. I think it was about 55, 60 minutes, wasn't it, he made the change. So he gave Luiz plenty of time to get up to speed, and I thought he did well when he came on.
So what's your, I mean, just to recap on Drinkwater, what's your standing on him? Because obviously that's a patience thing. I mean,
I think he needs games. I wonder if there's an under-23 game, which I think there is next week. I'm pretty sure they play Albion soon. And I just wonder if he will give him a little bit more game time, or if they'll have a behind closed doors game in the 7 days off, just to give him that little bit of extra fitness. Because I think he's kind of trying to build him through games. You know, he lasted maybe, what, 55, 60 minutes against Watford. But at some point, Smith's going to need him to last 90. But I think he's, as we said earlier, there's little glimpses of what he can do. I think he's just going to have to grow into his role. And I think if he keeps doing that, people will remain patient with him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's always clocking in around 80, 82 pass completion. And, you know, he sees a reasonable amount of the ball as well. So it's not as if he's gone missing. And as I said, you know, I thought he was recycling the ball all right. It's just that once it was recycled back into play, we didn't really have a clear
map. We just didn't have the pace either.
What we were doing, yeah.
Yeah, and we didn't really manage to break their lines particularly well. Be it, you know, pace, movement, or just that speed of the ball going, it was all a little bit pedestrian along the back line. It was actually, we looked better when we, you know, hit the big switch, and the diagonal ball actually worked for us a few times with Mings. He pinged a couple out to target and to Gilbert as well.
What do you think of the back three? I mean, I think I read somebody on Twitter said, just play the three centre-backs up front, Dean Smith. There's your plan for the next game.
I mean, I thought they, for the most part, defended well. I think Konsa had a good game. Mings did, I'd call Mings par for the course. He did what Mings does for the most part. I thought Courtney Hawes generally defended well. I thought it was very sloppy on the ball. I thought his distribution was slow and a little bit kind of overplayed. And he always took the extra touch when he didn't need to. The ball has to go quicker with him.
In terms of pass completion, he is the sloppiest of the lot.
Yeah.
Konsa and Mings are 83 plus and he's 76.
Right.
But again, he wins more aerials. I mean, he won 11 compared to Konsa's 7, Mings' 5.
He had the highest headers won, like header completion in the league.
Yeah.
He is the best person in the air.
But he'll never have as good a header as Mings's block, which came at him like a missile and hit him in the side of the head. He didn't know much about that.
No.
I don't know if you saw that, the one that poleaxed him out.
Yeah.
That was the kind of one that would have seen Wesley on a stretcher and off the pitch. Mings just shook it off. But and he got more contact on that than his alleged goal, which I haven't seen back yet. I've seen just a highlight on my phone of the goal, but I can't really see if he touched it or not. He obviously
touched it. Yeah, it hits his foot. He's gone down and then he's on his... Essentially, I think he's on his back with his trailing leg up in the air, and it obviously hits his studs.
It just
gives it a little bit of extra air to go over. I mean, Ben Foster wasn't getting near it anyway, and to be honest, he didn't deserve to get near it for all his shithouse time wasting, which I'm sure we'll come on to in a second. So justice done, should we say, karma. Karma was on Villa's side, which on so many occasions this season it hasn't been, especially when they've played well.
Yeah.
What was your take on the persistent time wasting from Watford and the lack of the referee getting on top of that in the game? It was a very kind of like Jobsworthy type refereeing performance, I thought, where he kind of spoilt what was actually a really good competitive game.
Yeah, no, and it was always building up. The thing is, I was quite surprised by apart from Delafay's chance, was it the end of the second half? I can't remember if it was the end of the second, when he was kind of through, but
it was just
shot into the side netting.
Oh yeah, sorry, the one at the end of the first half. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, because when he, technically he's very good, and he's a bit of a magician at times, and
he's kind of what we could do with, really.
But apart from that, they didn't really break their necks. I mean, there was that craziness, the big Pepe Reina flapathon. It was about three punches, flaps and flicks that seemed to go on for about 5 minutes, which I think Mings, instead of just wellying it out, he let it bounce, and I think Watford player got a foot in, and that was the second or third shot in that sequence. But apart from that, they didn't really go for it, and as you say, they were time wasting, and I think they were happy either to grind out a 1-0, or when we did equalise, obviously we had the momentum. I think they were just thinking, let's take the sting out of this momentum and just get out of here, because at least a draw keeps Villa below them.
Yeah, I certainly thought they would show a lot more willing with some of the players they've got and the momentum they've got. I thoroughly expected them to come and really have a go.
It was a chance to kill us off.
Especially at 1-0. I mean, I said to Tony, the guy next to me at sort of half-time, it has the feel of like next goal wins this. If Villa get a goal, they'll get some momentum. If Watford get the next goal, they could run through us, or it'll be game over.
I think I put on Facebook, I said the next goal at half-time, I said the next goal could be very important for Villa's season. And the prophecy came true.
Yeah.
Monumental switch in belief and confidence. I mean, it's just huge, that kind of injury time winner. It just shifts everything. You're suddenly looking at that semi-final and you're thinking, right, we're going to give them one hell of a game. So you're excited about that. And you're also going into that Bournemouth game, because Bournemouth would be, because they won now, they'll be thinking, right, means nothing. We need back-to-back wins to get us out of here and obviously drag Villa back down. But now Villa are fired up as well. So that could be potentially a bit of a ding-dong battle as well.
Well, it means you look at your January results and all of a sudden you take the Man City game out of it because it was a free hit and you thought you'd lose anyway. But all of a sudden you've gone to Burnley, who were around you, and won. You've gone to Brighton and got a point, and you've beaten Watford and gone above them.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's not quite such a disastrous month than was being,
Yeah. Well, all of a sudden you're seen to be taking care of business, which is what we actually, never mind want, is what we need.
I think it's really real credit to sort of Smith and the players that actually they just held their nerve in the end. And it isn't like they've come out and played tiki-taka football and stuff. They've just when they've had to, they've just ground it out the hard way. You know, Burnley was a hard-fought win in the end, while they showed a bit of quality. The Watford win was huge, but it was a grindy kind of win. The Leicester Cup draw was the same. Brighton was the same. You know, when they've had little opportunities, they have managed to show some quality, but for the most part, they've had to win ugly.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I think I'm so excited. It's a huge step for me in my career and for all the people from Tanzania. This is a very big step for the country as well. Everybody's so on it. They were looking for it to see one Tanzanian guy who can play in the Premier League, and here today I'm him. So I'm so happy.
So Samatta, who looks like he can finish.
Yeah.
We don't really know about his all-round play because we haven't been watching a lot of Belgium football, to be honest. I mean, his goal scoring record, I mean, it's what is the exchange rate on the Belgium league to the Premier League? That is the question.
Yeah, it's hard to gauge, but just to have a focal point will make such a difference. And someone, you know, because he's 27, he's played in the Champions League. He comes across really well in his interview. You know, he's clearly a very confident guy. He's not going to sort of. I don't think he looks like a shrinking violet. He's going to come in here and he's going to want to hit the ground running.
I've already noticed he's got. You'll get on with Trezeguet because they've both got Gucci tracksuits.
Oh, wonderful!
So
they'll be head to toe in Balenciaga in no time then.
The main takeaway from the highlights that you watch, and which you know pretty much everybody does, is you can header the ball. Obviously, we haven't scored a headed goal this season, which it doesn't really matter how they go in. But I just thought from today's performance, you just thought, yeah, today was a game where we suffered from not having a striker because we would have probably taken the lead before they did.
Yeah, I mean, credit to Vasilev when he came on, he was a little bit of a focal point, and you started to see what he's about, and he's a really hard worker, and he'll chase everything a little bit like Andy Vyman. But
yeah,
he's someone who could be an interesting little weapon to use in the second half of the season, but he certainly isn't ready to be the main man yet.
He might have a Graham Fenton role,
hopefully. Yeah, in a cup final
might be somebody that Smith has up his sleeve, because he is a willing runner, and
yeah, very much so. He works hard.
And he runs intelligently as well, from what I've got on these last two cameos.
There's almost a hint of Scott Hogan about him, all these great runs but no one ever feeds him.
No, but it's more like not running in at goal. It's more like chasing down.
He'll pull people out of position and just give them
offering
something
himself.
Yeah, he'll give people things to think about, which I think is what we need, really.
What have you been thinking about Pepe Reina so far? A question I always ask guests when we are talking about goalkeepers. Do you feel confident in him as your goalkeeper?
Yes. Yep. He's come straight in. I think his distribution is on the money.
Yeah.
I like how he's so proactive when he takes a cross or he has the ball at the back. He wants to start the attack. He feels like he is part of the play. Even, for the Watford, the winner, he kind of said, no, you like, fuck off, get in the box, get under this. And he ran pretty much up to halfway, didn't he? And orchestrated the final attack.
Fuck off.
Get in the box.
What's you lot fuck off in Spanish?
Do you want me to get on Google Translate?
No, it's all right. I'm joking.
I'm not. Hang on. Que te jodas. Yeah, que te jodas. That's you lot, fuck off in Spanish. But I thought he's just a calming influence. He's not going to be overawed by these kind of games. You know, he's played in World Cups and he's played Champions League finals and he's played at the San Siro every week and played for some of the biggest clubs in world football. You know, this is a walk in the park for him. He's glad to be playing, and I think he's exactly the player we needed at this time.
Yeah.
As much as Nealon's done well, I think in terms of personality, leadership, organisation, the fact that we've got someone behind Mings now, I think will make a big difference to the back three and the team in general.
Yeah, the situation is if you've got a crumbling team fighting relegation, then potentially Reina's walking into a situation where he's just cannon fodder. But if he's got a defence that's trying to find its way but has got talent and potential there, then he's only going to make that defence better just through, he's very vocal, he's very experienced, but he's bang up for it as well.
Yeah.
So the dynamic works very well and the potential is there to improve the defence. But one thing that we didn't touch on is, again, the defence switch off at times, and you've got three centre-backs there, and the main talisman striker who has been responsible for the resurgence of Watford is floating around like a butterfly and has a free header, pretty much, to put them in the lead. You know, it's the freedom of the penalty box. And you're thinking, how does he get to the edge of the six-yard box, and nobody's fucking marking him?
I mean, it's a crap piece of defending. Again, it's kind of been a villa all season, hasn't it? Luckily, we got away with it tonight. But in terms of if you're going to make individual errors, and one thing Smith mentioned, I think it was in his pre-match, where he was talking about giving away tactical fouls in smarter areas. Like they did it a couple of times on halfway and in the Watford half. They gave the ball away in a silly area in their own half again. So yeah. if you have to, just take the man down.
But I've noticed it in a couple of games when we've played the three centre-backs is, I mean, you know the saying, the corridor of uncertainty, when somebody basically crosses it, pretty much the edge of edge of the six-yard box in it when it comes in fast. The corridor of uncertainty. But there seems to be a corridors of uncertainty in between. Well, you've got Mings in the middle, and then you've got in between Mings and on, you know, one side, obviously, Konza, one side, House. And if a runner runs in the middle there, it's the uncertainty of who picks him up or who is marking him on a cross.
Yeah.
And they seem to get it wrong at times. And there's really no excuse. Because I think if you got a two, you can say, right, you pick up Troy Deeney, stick on him, you know, when there's a set play. While the three seems to be a bit more zonal, and or they play that Mings attacks the ball and then the other two go zonal, and it just creates that space, because if the ball goes over Mings, then somebody will just, you know, run in behind him, and the one of the other centre backs who may be marking somebody else doesn't pick it up.
Well, it's just typical Villa again, isn't it? It's like you've worked so hard and you're in such control to play yourself into trouble and give them a goal. You just think, you know, you've dodged a bullet in the end, but that, you know, could have been another costly error.
Yeah. I was just looking at Ghent, some of their formations when they played home and away in the Champions League, and old Samata, he's played alongside somebody else as a front two. He's also played the deeper. They've had like a forward playing up front, and he plays behind that forward. So like, what do you call that role? It's like kind of a forward number 10.
Yeah, they call it, it's almost like a false nine, false ten, isn't it? They're calling it all these silly phrases now, but he's essentially just off the striker. He's kind of where Grealish should be, really.
Yeah, I don't see him as like, he's not the target man. I think he's a bit more versatile than that, but he is obviously a finisher. But he's, I think, you know, maybe if he might fit into a three and be a little bit more fluid than Wesley. I mean, Wesley's fluidity was coming back deep, which is not really where you wanted him.
No.
Where I wonder if old Samata runs the channels a bit more. And
he said himself that he does. He wants to go in behind, which I think Villa we've said all season, haven't we? They desperately need the option to go in behind, especially now you don't have McGinn, who's willing to go past the striker.
Yeah, you know, you can see him going out wide and Grealish running into the centre, and, you know, same with El Ghazi. I kind of, I like Trezeguet's work rate, and it'd be interesting to see which, I mean, obviously they'll rotate them a bit, but which...
Yeah, they both put a shift in, to be fair.
Who Smith fancies the most, for example, if Samata starts against Leicester. Do you think he'll start against Leicester? I'm assuming that.
Yeah.
Or do you think they'll use him as a super sub?
I think because they've got 7 days of rest / prep time now, I think Smith will know that he needs to get him up to speed. And the Leicester game, even if he plays well and has to pull him off after a certain amount of time, I think he knows that that's part of, you know, embedding him in the team. So I think he's a shoo-in to start, to be honest. He certainly isn't bringing him in to ease him in. You've got to get him up to speed now.
Because this was a situation we spoke about when we first of all went into the first leg against Leicester, was like, as long as we can stay in the tie, we would have a chance of buying a striker in,
yeah,
and playing him in the second leg, and it's come to fruition. But we're in a position now where Leicester haven't got a fucking clue. They've never seen Samatta play for Villa. Neither of Villa fans.
Neither have we.
But Leicester as an opposition who have to deal with him. We have that, I called him a wild card on social media. We have got wild card to play.
Yeah.
So there is a bit of, I wouldn't say it's an advantage, because obviously he's got to hit the ground running, and you know that's another issue that might fall into Leicester's favour. But when you've got the whole crowd willing you on, and it's a kind of a one-off game, and he's played big games before, he's no slouch, so it could be interesting, could be an interesting night.
I mean, I think in terms of just momentum as well, you know, he turns up to Villa and he already has a song about him. I mean, the whole team was singing his name tonight. There were people walking to the ground before the game singing his name. So he's going to have the crowd behind him. That was actually one of the nice things when Vasilev came on. He did lift the crowd a bit, because as with all young players, the crowd are really willing them on and they want them to do well. They're not going to get on their back unless, you know, it's not happening after a period of time. But to begin with, they're 100% behind them.
Yeah, I think, and it switched it nicely for that game and for the running. I mean, it's setting up the rest of the season in my mind.
Yeah.
To have that mini break. And then there's actually two breaks, isn't there? There's our little FA Cup break, because we didn't quite make it. And then there's the, what's the official term for it?
Winter.
The players' winter rest or whatever it is.
The February Dubai piss-up.
But that's another chance to get Samatta up to speed. As long as, if we can, you know, get something out of Bournemouth as well.
Yep.
And then that extra little week of getting him up to speed again, and then we go again. McGinn hopefully is only a matter of 5 weeks or so away of returning as well. So positivity.
And all of a sudden everyone can be positive, and I think that was the good thing tonight, as much as it was a very nervy atmosphere. Once Villa got a bit of momentum, and there was we'd spoken about it, and I'd spoke about it in the Mad Few group, that the whole end needs to act like that 12th man that sucks the ball into the net. And that's exactly what it was in the last sort of 10 minutes with Villa having all of the ball.
But we've been through a few years, I mean, before obviously we got sparked back into action last season, where the team wouldn't apply that pressure in the last 10 minutes to actually, you know, ignite the crowd and get everybody, you know, they weren't forcing corners. They were going through games without actually having a bloody corner. But you want that last 10 minutes, if you're down or if you're looking for a winner, to have that sustained attack to get the crowd involved, you know, to force corner after corner. And that's, you know, you break your opposition down. But there was a couple of seasons where it just wasn't happening. You just thought, I'm sure that every game that we weren't winning, when I come to Villa Park, you would have a go in the last 5 minutes. You know, you throw the kitchen sink at it.
Yeah, traditionally we'd hold on in the last 5 minutes.
But now we've kind of got that back, and that's also a spiller from last season as well, when we, you know, pulled out some last minute.
Absolutely.
Rock and roll out the bag from nowhere. Right, anyway, let's. We just wanted to encapsulate that one game. And because it is, in our opinion, a pivotal moment in this season for Aston Villa as we climb out of the relegation zone. Please do subscribe if you're listening on iTunes and Spotify. Also, the My Old Man Said mugs and T-shirts are available for you if you want to support the show. The mugs, I've just wanted to get a second round of samples in, just to make sure it all lined up and everything, and they're looking pretty spanking, so get on those. Just go to the My Old Man Said website, and also become a patron as well to get access to all the bonus shows we are now throwing your way in 2020. And also I'll be putting up some discount codes for those mugs and t-shirts if you are a mom's patron as well. Right, Mr. Chris Bird, any final words before we close this show?
Well, I'll mention what I said to you earlier, that the little nugget from the game. I think it was Smith. Apparently, I've just been corrected on Twitter that it was John Terry who summoned one of the young ball boys. This was when Ben Foster was persistently...
Are you running a covert life on Twitter while we are having this conversation?
Absolutely. I'm running all. I'm trying to multitask. Yeah, not very well.
Right. Sorry. Karen.
So it was about, I think it's about 55, 60 minutes in. Obviously, the whole crowd were getting very frustrated. You could see the Villa players in the refs here about Ben Foster, especially, and a few of the other Watford players persistently time-wasting. I couldn't see if it was Smith or Terry, but clearly one of the ball boys was summoned over to the dugout, spoken to, and you could see him at like breakneck speed sprint off down the Trinity Road touchline and like literally in the ear of every ball boy along the touchline and behind the goal at the Holt end. And then instantly, any time that ball went out of play, the Villa lads were straight off their stools and they were literally putting the ball in the Watford player's hand. It was it comes as common sense, but when they're doing that, to just push the game forward.
Yeah, keep the momentum going if we've got it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it's a small thing, but it does make a big difference. It's little things like that that Villa have always been naive about to a certain extent. Yeah. If you know, use your home advantage.
So we'd like to dedicate this bonus show for the week, dedicate it to the Villa Park ball boys. Respect.
Big up yourselves.
As always, thank you very much for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Chance if it drops right. Horse helps it on to Tyrone Mings and Konsa! Ezri Konsa strikes gold for Aston Villa!
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.